We'll begin by singing this song of distinguishing the provisional from the definitive in the context of Maha Mudra, and then we can have time for questions. Right here in this world, Jambudvipa, the victor's realm, there is one renowned as being a second Buddha. On the victory banner of teachings that do not set, he is like the crowning jewel at the very top. Respected by all and worthy of offerings, the melodious sound of his rippling flag of fame reverberates in every direction around. Is this not the Lord and accomplished Master Maitripa? There is one who served at his lotus feet with respect and drank in full draughts the quintessential elixir, the Maha Mudra, the crowning point of view. This put him in touch with reality, plain and simple. He perfectly brought all excellent qualities forth and was not defiled by any fault at all. A Sugata emanation in human form, that greatest of beings, Lord Marpa, taught like this. However appearances might appear outside, not realized are delusory projections. Clinging to objects, this is what ties you down. For those who know their illusory appearance, for them what appear to be objects are mind's best friends. In the end, in fact, there is no such thing as appearance, and being unborn Dharmakaya is utterly pure. He taught of its purity as the unborn Dharmakaya. The workings of mental consciousness inside, not realized, are ignorance itself. This is the source of all karma and all affliction. If realized is self-awareness wisdom, here is where positive qualities spring full-blown. In the end, in fact, there is no such thing as wisdom. Let phenomena go as far as they go and no more. This is as far as they go and no more, he said. This skanda form compulsively taken on, not realized is four elements making a body. Sickness and suffering, this is what comes of that. If realized is a deity's union body, reversing the common assumption you entertain, in the end, in fact, there is no such thing as body. It's as rarefied as a cloud-free sky, he taught. Is pure as a cloud-free sky is what he taught. Apparitions of male and female, demons and ghouls, for as long as your guise has not been seen through our maras. Obstacle makers who nothing but trouble spell, when your guise is seen through you, obstructors are Dharmapalas. A hotbed of cities of such a variety, In the end, in fact, there are neither gods nor goblins. Let concepts go as far as they go and no more. This is as far as they go and no more, he said. In the ultimate jnana, to put it in general terms, through the Anuttara Yoga of Secret Mantra, Dhatu condensation with Nadia lines, the forms of spirits are seen outside Itahat. Not knowing these self-expressions are not what they seem, but thinking they're real will get you precisely nowhere. There was a time confusion made my head spin. Knowing no better, I built a nest of delusion, taking gods that help and spirits that harm as true. But now through the Jetson Siddha's guidance so kind, I see stopping samsara and winning nirvana won't do. I've caught on that whatever appears is Mahamudra. Through realizing delusion to have no ground, the water moon of awareness shines unblurred, the sun of luminosity free of clouds lights up the darkness of ignorance out to its brink. My spinning head of confusion spins no more. A glimmer of basic being glows within. How precious now the idea of seeing a ghost. It reveals the unborn source, how strange and amazing. Now, what questions do you have?
Yeah.
Studying emptiness, looking at the four different schools and doing the usual meditations on emptiness will lead to a direct realization. But I don't understand the relationship between that method and looking at the clear light nature of the mind. Is this an alternative to the method I just mentioned, or is this method completely different way of realizing emptiness, so that the two are mutually exclusive?
Morangi drupta shi lobjongchen tombani rimbashindu hakogre.
Oh yeah.
De tapchikre.
No, really.
Hakogidu. Tene yang semgine luk usela cherchitepe tap yang yore. Then a tap ni tetso tsane minjawa rebe, chiki chikla pentogi duge, drawa kareyarena.
Te trumta remjuk de zona dambo rakpa rakpa ne tava tava la and jukusena, then is samuto le lagre.
The question is about these two methods of. I've been asked to repeat the question for the tape. So the question is about the two methods. First, of studying emptiness progressively through the stages of the four philosophical tenets versus the method of looking directly at the clear light nature of mind. Are these two methods exclusive, or do they benefit each other in some way? What is their relationship, if any? And Rinpoche says that, first of all, considering the first method, then that is one where one comes to understand emptiness in a gradual way, by first studying the more coarse explanations of emptiness and of reality, and then as the explanations get more subtle, the more subtle explanations are easier to understand because one has studied the more coarse ones that came before. If one looks at the luminous nature of mind directly and rests within it, free of the duality of there being anything to perceive and anyone perceiving it, then that is the mind-only school's way to meditate, to rest in awareness that is the ground or the basis of reality, but which is free of any duality of an object different from a subject. And this way of meditating is just like the realization that one is dreaming while the dream is occurring.
Yang sem je ngo la chik thoda che ta wa thin sam je chet che te te sem je ne lo ye tong nam kha ta wu ngi chi che te tong ba nam kha ta wu ngang do ya na te ne ran ju che ta wa tang kom ba re o ma ran ju tang thum ba re.
If one looks at the nature of mind and examines it, seeing that it is neither one thing nor many things, and therefore that its nature is primordial emptiness, like space, like empty space, then that is meditating on the nature of mind in accordance with the view of the autonomy school, the Svatantrika Madhyamaka.
Then Rabu Yapa Kapso Rang Nam Katung Bu Ying Laya Patawa Tang Lu Me Patawa Nam Ka Ying Laya Patawa Yam Nung Yang Yung Yabri.
When one meditates in this way, then one will have experiences like that of being in the middle of vast and empty space, like one's body has disappeared, one has no body. Those types of experiences can arise from meditating in this way.
Then this hymn o la hirap ji meki chir ji te te tong mo tong mo tong ta ma ta ngo po ngo me la so po tru pa tham che char ve ni hi chi te tru ja ji ngang do lu ji lo na tru ja ji ngang do chu la chu ya ba yin de ya na than jir ji o ma than jir ji ta wa ta.
If one looks with one's eye of wisdom directly at the nature of mind and sees that it is neither something nor nothing, neither permanent nor impermanent, neither empty nor not empty, in short, that it is beyond any conceptual fabrication, and seeing that mind is like that, then one's own prajna that is looking at this mind is also free of perceiving mind to be in any of these different ways, then both what we meditate on and what is doing the meditating are free from any conceptual fabrication. They are like water poured into water. And this is the way to meditate on the nature of mind that is in harmony with the middle way consequence school, the Prasangika Madhyamaka.
Then Oma Tsava Hirab Lungombo Lurubje Tungo Hijang Majujing Mutong Hijang Mazate Nida Nime Mazate Dagba Tondo Jubar Sasumber Tong Matonga Traba Tamche Tang Travangando. tong ma tong na ji thop to na tso pa ju chu re.
As the protector Nagarjuna says in the fundamental wisdom of the middle way, don't call it empty. Don't call it not empty. Don't call it both. And don't call it neither. Use these just as conventional expressions. The meaning of this verse is that we cannot describe the nature of mind by saying it is empty or not empty or both or neither, because it transcends all conceptual fabrication. And nevertheless, when we're talking about it, when we're explaining it, then it's perfectly okay to use these terms as long as we understand that they are just conventional expressions.
Yo dang, mi dang, yu mi ji, ke me len ba, gang yin ba, de la nen ten ten pe na, su jang len ka sa ma ni song ba ra. Yu mi ke len dang, ke len len de na, de ne rik pa ma ba, su jang len ka de, rik pa nu zi, yu to gu ma ra song ba ra. De jum chen da ka ra sa nang gong bu lu drup je, rang luk nang ba dang, sa ru ba tam je je, ke len la rik pa nu zi je na ga pa se na, rang la ta wa la yang, Nezi meva je go on the te jum chin la song bare. Jum chin te la ten la song bare.
And Nagarjuna further says, those who do not assert existence or non-existence or any combination of the two cannot be refuted by anyone else, no matter how hard they try. So Nagarjuna wrote this verse because he devotes a lot of his text to refuting the views of others. But then he is asked, well, what about your own view? Aren't you going to refute that? And he explains that he cannot be refuted because he has no view. He doesn't assert any of these things.
Gombo Ludrup ji yin ji lo la maga naga ji japa mara rokpa zobare. Kelin yu na tawa tato ma yinba se na kelin la rikpa nyo si tenpare.
And what we should further understand is that Nagarjuna did not refute the views of everybody else in order to put them down, but rather to help them. Because as long as we still have an assertion, we haven't reached the ultimate understanding of the true nature of reality. So that is how the Middle Way Consequence School understands things. So if we look at the songs of the realized siddhas or the verses of the great masters, whenever we see statements that they are beyond assertion, they are beyond having any view, then we should understand that their way of expressing things at that point is in harmony with that of the Middle Way Consequence School.
Yang sem je ne lok la, ta tang ten cik pe so ma san pa, jen char je cher je te pe, rung yin je wo sar wa. Wai sar se je te, wai sar jen le song wa ma yin pa, rung yin je wo sar wa. Mula trama meba, yin in number tapering hikite, sartonga ngala, yazan juzi ni meba, soje lo de yoksorte, yana deni yin donga tawatan tumbare.
And if without relying on reasoning or analysis or logical conclusion, we simply look straight at the nature of mind and rest relaxed within it, within the clear light that is mind's essence. And that is the way to meditate in harmony with the view of the Shentong, the empty of other school. And here, when it's said that mind's nature is clear light, we're not talking about any light that is a composite entity that exists due to the coming together of causes and conditions. It's not that, because it is just the nature of mind as it is. So it's not something created by anything. And when we do this in a way that is free from there being anything to rest in and anyone to rest within anything, free of that type of duality, then that is meditating according to the Shinto. The treatise on the Buddha nature, the Uttara Tantra Shastra, is comprised of 7 Vajra points. And the 4th of these is about the basic element of the Buddha nature, the enlightened essence. And it explains the 3 reasons why all sentient beings have the enlightened essence as their basic nature. Then the 10 aspects of its existence, and the 9 examples for how it is covered over by adventitious stains. And if we can gain certainty in the qualities of the Buddha nature by studying these, by being sure about what they mean, then after them in the text comes one verse which teaches how to meditate on the Buddha nature. And this verse says, not the slightest thing need be removed, nothing whatsoever need be added. Truly looking at truth, truth is seen, and in this seeing is complete liberation. Nothing needs to be removed from the Buddha nature, because no faults exist within it. Nothing needs to be added to it either. It is perfect just as it is. And when genuine understanding looks at this Buddha nature that is genuine, it is like clear light looking at itself. Clear light looking at clear light without any distinction, and we just rest within that.
Then they cap so Sarja Mabati, Simje Nelo, Sergio La Tremont, Jun Mepe, Mepes and a Jun Sarda Mabata. You intend Lunge Trubes and a Sardo, you intend Yamuguber Temper.
There is nothing whatsoever that need be removed, because in the essential nature of mind, the Buddha nature, there are no imperfections, there are no stains at all. So there's nothing to try to get rid of. And since it exists as the nature of mind, replete with all of its qualities, then there's nothing to add to it. It is perfect just as it is.
Ta tekpa chembe lo lo chojur den jen ne kapso thongbang dan gombang kanle yang madur bare thongla thopa kapso thongbang le tor gomla remje drepa kapso gomla rakpa ne gombang rakpa ne thawar le tor sabju jen je thamal le dene ninang bhakcha dang je ba le dror de sang je ba se sang je ba yin ba se na yang dan thong na nam ba dror song ba re dror chor de la ta pa pa sa la sa jo ren ba mang bu he yo re
The general Mahayana explanation is that we begin by practicing on the first the path of accumulation and second the path of junction. And while on those two paths we haven't yet given up, we haven't yet cleared away the obscurations that prevent us from seeing the nature of mind just as it is. We do that when we reach the path of seeing and become noble bodhisattvas. And once we've done that, we see directly what we've never seen before, and we go from there through the path of cultivation, cultivating or habituating ourselves to what we see on the path of seeing. That covers the second through the tenth bodhisattva bhumis, or grounds. And at the end of the tenth bodhisattva bhumi, one rests in what is called the samadhi that is like a vajra. This samadhi completely vanquishes any last traces of duality, together with the subtle imprints that dualistic perception leaves in the mind. And at that point, one becomes enlightened. So when the verse says, when truth is seen, in this seeing is complete liberation, this complete liberation refers to ultimately the liberation of the Buddha, but also all of the stages of liberation that happen from the time one becomes a bodhisattva, progressing through the 10 grounds on up to enlightenment.
Tene saja chenpi lo la karma pa sumpa rangzong do je sakhen melan le lan thong ke melan je kap so tan me sem la yang yang te pe che thong me ton ne je yin la gar thong ye me ton la te so che ba ni thur me rang o rang ke chi par hyo song ba
According to the Mahamudra tradition, the way to meditate is explained by the third Karmapa Rangjung Dorje in his aspiration prayer for Mahamudra, specifically his aspiration for the attainment of Hlaktong, Vipassana, or superior insight. And so he says, looking again and again at the mind that cannot be looked at, unseeable reality is seen vividly just as it is. Cutting through all doubts about whether it is or it is not, may we unmistakably recognize our own face.
Zugdra zugdra te ro rize da yi no won hi je ta ro la zugdra te ro rize da yi ma yin be se na won hi je tar me ba re
Why can't we look at mind? Because mind does not appear to any of the five sense consciousnesses. It's not a sight, it's not a sound, it's not something to smell or taste or touch. So there's no way to look at it.
Tene ta tang ten chik len de ba. Tanyi len de ba se na ta tang ten chik len de ba re. Ta tang ten tanyi len de ba jum chin je. Ta tang ten chik len de ba se na jipa tse me yang Jetawa yendo, Munsum the Tamatobre. Takin, Tala tembe, Takin jiba jijang, Tagrete, Jetawa yendo, Muneta tuma.
The nature of mind transcends names, transcends conventional expressions. And therefore, it's beyond logic. It's beyond logical signs, reasons, and inference. And so it cannot be realized directly by inferential valid cognition. When we understand valid logical conclusions about the nature of mind, then we understand it in an approximate way, in an abstract way, but not in a direct way. And therefore, mind not only transcends direct valid cognition, as exemplified by not being an object of any one of the five sense consciousnesses, it also transcends being an object of inferential valid cognition. Therefore, when we look at mind, we don't see anything. There's nothing to look at. And in fact, the process of looking at mind does not involve anyone looking or anything to look at. Therefore, when we meditate on the nature of mind, there is no one meditating and nothing to meditate upon. And when we see the nature of mind as a realization, in fact, there is no one seeing anything and nothing to see. The second line says, unseeable reality is seen vividly just as it is. So even though there is nothing to see and no one to see anything, there is this vivid seeing that is described, this superior insight. And this superior insight is a name given to the experience of realization when in fact there is nothing to see and no one seeing anything. It is experience of the non-dual nature of reality. It is an expression of pure, vivid, and direct insight. And when we have this experience, then doubts have no place to be anymore. There's no room for them. Doubts about whether it is, or it is like this, or it's not like that. All that type of uncertainty is gone. And our aspiration is that this will happen, that we will unmistakably recognize our own face, because we have to see it ourselves. There are several traditions of Mahamudra in the Kagyu tradition as a whole. The first of these is called Sutra Mahamudra. And it is Mahamudra of the nature of mind realized as transcending all conceptual fabrications, being beyond concept in the nature of what it is. And this, Dakpo Rinpoche explained, is the tradition that is in harmony with the explanation of the Mahayana Uttara Tantra Shastra, the treatise on Buddha nature. He said this explicitly. Our Mahamudra in the Kagyu tradition comes from this treatise on Buddha nature and its explanation of the enlightened essence. The clear light nature of mind is connected with some bit of the style of meditation instructions from the mantra Mahamudra tradition, and that is Sutra Mahamudra.
Tene ngalok saja chenpo te tene detong saja chenpo re wang dang thablan la tene tene detong la juk so re.
Mantra Mahamudra is the
so wang sumbanyam.
Mantra Mahamudra is the method for meditating on the nature of reality that is bliss and emptiness. And one practices it in reliance upon having received empowerments and practicing on what is called the path of skillful means. Specifically, it involves the practice of the third empowerment. And one uses that practice in order to rest in the nature of mind that is bliss and emptiness.
Tene nyingbu lokje sakchen te nyingbu dorje yihim beba ye wangra mendor chikher sepa wo sumbari hizan do o tenda wo to den je lame kar den je lo mala tene danda chikher do ngote par.
The third tradition is essence Mahamudra. And it is described in the Treasury of Knowledge as receiving the Vajra of the blessing of essence Mahamudra. And this is the process by which a Lama endowed with realization points out the nature of mind to fortunate student or students all at once, so that they are introduced directly to the nature of mind just as it is.
Dordona lama tokwa den dembe loma taipa chenpo chin thezon len deba la semje ne lo ngote chure.
It is the way that a realized lama gives pointing out instructions to a fortunate student who is sure, who has great faith in the lama, who has transcended all doubt.
This is the same thing that we have to do with the Lama. We have to do with the Lama.
And therefore, as we see that, as we can see, then if one looks at the nature of mind in accordance with the views of the various philosophical tenets, then also that will lead to experience. So it's like that. Now what questions do you have? We have to make them quite short.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Other questions? And ghosts.
Chuku.
So is there any connection between Dharmakaya and ghosts? Chuku tang landre la jawa yare.
Lande.
Lare.
Chuku ta lande.
Lare.
Lande ne long thar tokwa chuku re.
Maso.
Namdo ga ne long thar tokwa chuku yinpe se na lande ne long thar tokwa yang chuku re.
Maso.
Korban ne long thar tokwa nyang ande se ya. Tenda wa hi.
In fact, the ultimate nature of ghosts is the Dharmakaya. Since the ultimate nature of thoughts, any kind of thought at all, is Dharmakaya, then the ultimate nature of ghosts is also Dharmakaya. As it is explained, the ultimate nature of samsara is nirvana.
This and Andreda and Doise did Nanzurtam, Malandravo, Nanzurtan Remato, Nelo Lumadobore.
Therefore, it's just like when we dream of demons or spirits. Demons and spirits are just the way of appearance, not the way of genuine reality. In reality, there's no such thing as an obstructing spirit or anything malicious at all once we realize their true nature. And in terms of appearance, then it's important to understand that, because it's impossible to completely shut off the appearances of demons, to prevent them from appearing is impossible.
Tung tambar yang tapar de madrup chen. De nang den zain de to te nanjur par rang thunang yimbe se na de nang dan den zain de to som song yang nam jo rang le song. Them yang nang jo rang la them song par. Ta nang ngoma chik thang war. Te kar chen bo.
Even though really there are no such things as ghosts, they appear as the confused projections of the mind of the yogin. And that is why Milarepa sings, as Rinpoche quoted earlier, what appears as, is perceived as, and is thought of as a ghost, whenever these appear from the yogi, they appear, and when they dissolve into the yogi, they dissolve. This is very important for us to keep in mind.
Yang na jurje wa so malare petrpa jarwa go sang pe nimi jele yedam la ye na wa ta parche de ji chomdo ni ying nam da ngang do yer ma si so re ga re ji thole jar so.
And further, the emanation of the Lord of Yogis, Milarepa, whose name was Gyalwa Gutsangpa, sang in a song called The Eight Kinds of Non-Duality. Wonderful visions of Yidam deities and fearsome apparitions of obstructing demons. These distinctions don't exist in the pure expanse. So how joyful, how happy, sudden victory. This is a teaching that in the nature of reality, gods and demons are equality.
Yeah, te lo chik tang da, gor chik tang da.
Sri Mataji asked that I sing this verse, and it goes like this. Wonderful visions of Yidam deities and fearsome apparitions of obstructing demons. These distinctions don't exist in the pure expanse. So how joyful, how happy, sudden victory.
Then la la khencha dan de la de la makabayo na lo de mangputango gor de mangputango.
If we find ourselves with a lot of attachment to the deities and aversion to demons, then we should sing that verse very often.
Yeah, that's a way.
Now, do you have any other questions? We have 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
If gods and demons exist only as our own projections, A, do they believe in their own reality, like we believe in our reality, so we have bodies? And B, why do you make offerings to them in order to help things?
So if gods and demons are only our own projections, do they believe in their own existence just like we do? And if that's the case, then why do we make offerings to them?
It's not the case, rather. They're totally...
Right.
Totally,
if they're just our own projections, why do we make offerings to them? Sanjay, chunang tsamina, dene konso layang dene Natsu Nangshin Dagzin Yorabe.
Kontola.
Landela.
Te Danzin De la Danzin Yore Lala Danzin Yemi Jeper Sekor.
Baso.
Yeah.
Demons have ego clinging. They believe in their own existence. And in terms of deities, we have to determine what deity we're talking about, what type of god we're talking about, to see whether they have ego clinging or not.
Dela danzin yera karasana danzin je wangan torte de nawa kharvasena danzin yebe chabur. Danzin je wangan torman torna kharvar. De korang.
Naso. Kon la yang chu nang shage.
Na korang rang chu gun chu goyo.
Nare.
De rang chu bur.
Naso. De gi semla chu pa
yare. Yeah, yeah.
Naso. The demons have ego clinging. They believe in the existence of themselves because they're confused beings. So they definitely have it. And people think that these demons are confused. I'm sorry, people think that these demons are real, and that's evidence of the people's own confusion. The true nature of demons doesn't go beyond dharmata. It doesn't go beyond pure reality. Milarepa sings in another song called the Song of the Five Perfections of the Definitive Meaning. These demons who make all these obstacles, these demons are just my own thoughts. So I don't try to get rid of them with rituals. I don't need to make all that noise. This yogi is perfectly blissful. My thoughts are liberated in Dharmakaya. If you think demons are real, then you need to make a lot of ritual racket to get rid of them. But if you don't think they're real, if you know they're just like appearances in dreams, you don't need to do that. If you know their nature is beyond concept, then there's no need to try to stop them or make them appear.
So
it's like that. Yeah. Chunang yena dene nga tso gi chupa puwe yu yinpe gyum sankarare.
Ndi e.
Plan de.
Ko la kale kakbundo chogo te gundo ngenpa treba.
Because those, and the second part of the question is, if they're just confused appearances, why do we offer to them? Because they're hungry. So it's nice if they have something to eat.
Tene jo jo lo so la nde te so chogo togo do.
In the tradition of Chud practice, then we understand that these demons are ravenous, they're very hungry, and so we offer them a nice meal of our own flesh and blood. Just like if we dream of being very hungry, if we get a nice meal in that dream, it makes us happy. Just like that. Sometimes we can dream of being very hungry and actually finding some food to eat, but we can't eat it. That's the experience of the hungry ghosts. That is the confused way of confusion. You have this really nice food in front of you and you want to eat it, but you can't. That's what it's like in dreams.
And
in the bardo, confused appearances happen like that too. That dreams, the bardo and waking life are all confused appearances. They're all the same in that regard. And everything that is a confused appearance is not real. It is appearance and emptiness. And the nature of the thoughts that think about these confused appearances is clarity and emptiness. Well, if there are no confused appearances, and there's no confused mind, then what's it really like? What's it like then? Well, it is the expanse of Dharma Dhatu, that is the expanse of pure vision. And within the great palace of spaciousness and openness, pure appearances, beautiful colors, and all the rest shine.
This is a hengkam dang. Ringi hengkam si jitya, waisar ngang le, chuji ying le dang nang hya chur.
And that's why it's explained that the immeasurable palaces of the five Buddha families shine within the expanse of clear light and pure vision. As for the beings in the lower realms, the hungry ghosts and the hell beings and the animals, the impure appearances that they perceive are merely the result of their lack of realization of the Dharma Dhatu. So they perceive the Dharma Dhatu to be something impure. So it's like that. You asked very good questions, and as a result of that, you got instructions for how to look at the nature of mind in connection with each of the philosophical tenets. So everything has gone very well this afternoon. So let's sing the song. Sing and meditate at the same time.
Yeah.
Right here in this world, Jambudvipa, the victor's realm, there is one renowned as being a second Buddha. On the victory banner of teachings that do not set, he is like the crowning jewel at the very top, respected by all and worthy of offerings, the melodious sound of his rippling flag of fame reverberates in every direction around. Is this not the Lord and accomplished Master Maitripa? There is one who served at his lotus feet with respect and drank in full draughts the quintessential elixir, the Mahamudra, the crowning point of view. This put him in touch with reality, plain and simple. He perfectly brought all excellent qualities forth and was not defiled by any fault at all. A Sugata emanation in human form, that greatest of beings, Lord Marpa, taught like this. However appearances might appear outside, not realized or delusory projections, clinging to objects, this is what ties you down. For those who know their illusory appearance, for them what appear to be objects are mind's best friends. In the end, in fact, there is no such thing as appearance, and being unborn, Dhammakaya is utterly pure. He taught of its purity as the unborn Dhammakaya. The workings of mental consciousness inside, not realized or ignorance itself. This is the root of all karma and all affliction. If realized is self-awareness wisdom, here is where positive qualities spring full-blown. In the end, in fact, there is no such thing as wisdom. Let phenomena go as far as they go and no more. This is as far as they go and no more, he said.
This
compulsively taken on, not realized is four elements making a body. Sickness and suffering, this is what comes of that. If realized, it's a deity's union body. Reversing the common assumption you entertain. In the end, in fact, there is no such thing as body. It's as rarefied as a cloud-free sky, he taught. As pure as a cloud-free sky is what he taught. Apparitions of male and female, demons and ghouls. For as long as your guise has not been seen through our maras. Obstacle makers who nothing but trouble spell. When your guise is seen through, obstructors are dharmapalas. A hotbed of cities of such a variety. In the end, in fact, there are neither gods nor goblins. Let concepts go as far as they go and no more. This is as far as they go and no more, he said. In the ultimate jhana, to put it in general terms, through the Anuttara yoga of secret mantra, when a dot to condensation with nadi aligns, the forms of spirits are seen outside, he taught. Not knowing these self-expressions are not what they seem, but thinking they're real will get you precisely nowhere. There was a time confusion made my head spin. Knowing no better, I built a nest of delusion, taking gods that help and spirits that harm as true. But now through the Jetson Siddha's guidance so kind, I see stopping samsara and winning nirvana won't do. I've caught on that whatever appears is Mahamudra. Through realizing delusion to have no ground, the water moon of awareness shines unblurred. The sun of luminosity free of clouds lights up the darkness of ignorance out to its brink. My spinning head of confusion spins no more. A glimmer of basic being glows within. How precious now the idea of seeing a ghost. It reveals the unborn source, how strange and amazing.
Sedra nyamja ome ton tsove, teyan chepa ngudo ranjo pa, meka namkha tave ton jo.
The middle way tradition is to seek out the nature of genuine reality. So first analyze, and then, according to the autonomy school, rest in the complete negation of everything that is like space.
Tanjur komzi chuyen komzi lo yinmi chula chugya tabo.
According to the consequence school, the object of meditation, Dharma Dhatu, and the meditating mind, are undifferentiable, like water poured into water.
Yendong ma towe sar chenpe ngang gengjang zhuzha zang je dong lung tui.
According to the MD of other school, the Shentong, one rests in the great non-conceptual clear light. On the essential point of being free from conceptual fabrications, all schools agree.
Parme samla yang yang te pte thome thone jeje lagar thom yeme thona te thon chheba ni thume rango rangi si pariko.
Looking again and again at the mind that cannot be looked at, unseeable reality is seen vividly, just as it is. Cutting through all doubts about whether it is or it is not, may we unmistakenly recognize our own face.
Semji yata chobane yola tepe yorme semton semla tepe semi ngoviton nila tepe nyinzen ransa tor oisa semji ne log to parisho.
Cutting through to the groundlessness and rootlessness of mind. Looking at objects, there are no objects. They are seen to be mind. Looking at mind, there is no mind. Mind is empty of essence. Looking at both, clinging to duality is self-liberated. May we recognize the true nature of mind, clear light.
So ju jarva se che thuk je ta nam kar gya wa chi ni ye pen tu te tar da da sem che tham che je man la nam da che je du du che.
By the power of the great compassion of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the Ten Directions, and the power of all of the immaculate virtue there is, may my own and all sentient beings, completely pure aspiration prayers, be perfectly fulfilled.
So nam deye tam je ze pa nye tom ne nye pe janam pam je ne Je gana je balap dro ba ye sipen sole dro wa shu nender ne mondele sendele nyemele.